Good morning. This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 2, and it's verses 13 to 23, and it can be found in page 966 in the church Bibles, or hopefully up on the screens above. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Perhaps have a think for 30 seconds, or no, let's make it just 10. If you were preaching now from that passage, what would be your sermon? I'm hoping someone's going to come up and do it, actually. No. Really short, no. I hope you've had a really great Christmas, really joyful and happy. But I'm so aware, even before I heard the news we've heard earlier, that Christmas is a really painful time for some people, or challenging, or bitter. There's actually a whole load of emotions. Christmas cards tend to tell the good part of the story, and that's completely appropriate. We don't want to send Christmas cards and depress everyone. Well, actually, quite a few Christmas cards have depressed me, but how many of you send out a round robin? Any of you do that? Some of them are so competitive, aren't they? Anyway, that's not this sermon, so I better not go there in case you sent me one. But I have shared my home with lots of people with colds. I love them. I don't resent them, but I've been very aware of it. Let's have a quick think. What's the best thing? Perhaps turn to your neighbour and say, what's the best thing if you've got a cold to try and fix it? What do you do if you've got a cold? Let's just hear what the answers are. Okay, some of you are talking about your lunch now, so let's move back. How many of you said something that involved alcohol? Okay, just four of us feel that way. I mean, I don't think it works at all. I think it just makes you care slightly less about it. Anyone else shout out, what's your main remedy? Get outside. There is something about that, because I did have a cold earlier, and clean air. You think, oh, my lungs have enjoyed that. Anything else?
Garlic.
Thought that was vampires, but yeah.
Stay in
for 4 days. Well, my remedy, other products are available. So, but Strepsils, they're sort of soothing. It's a funny thing, because there's honey, which is so sweet. I love honey from the comb, ideally, but Strepsils can do. But lemon, it's honey and lemon. We've had quite a few of those in our home. And lemons, of course, are quite sharp in the mouth, but they're full of vitamin C, and that does actually really help. It can even be prophylactic, helping stave off getting a cold. Does anyone here, though, if you have a cold, did anyone say vinegar? No. How many of you do like vinegar, just out of interest? Okay, well, you can get prayer later. I used to like it on sort of, you know, on fish and chips, but I've been weaned off that by other family members. But for a cold, you wouldn't think, oh, yeah, I just glug some malt vinegar back. Because it's not just sharp like a lemon, it's actually bitter. It's like... Sorry, that's my impression of drinking vinegar. It wasn't very good, but you're trying to get the idea. I wonder how Christmas has actually really been for you. Because, of course, Christmas isn't always sweet. It's been really sharp, like a lemon for some. At least with a lemon, there can be something restorative and healthy. It's a bit astringent, but you feel it's doing you good. And for others, Christmas has actually been like vinegar. It's just been bitter. It doesn't feel like a remedy. It's just been sour. And I'm always at Christmas so aware of the different experiences of life for members of the church family, and indeed for a city. We had someone homeless round at our house for supper yesterday, and I thought, wow, my Christmas has been so very different to his. And circumstances of health and relationships, in brief, of life, can be honey or lemon or vinegar. Christmas is full of the word nostalgia. I don't know if you know the word nostalgia. It's quite an interesting word, though. It comes from two other words in Greek, nostos, to return home, and algos, pain. If you see on the next slide, it's actually the bittersweet memories of home. I don't know if you've ever been homesick. Or maybe you've just been sick of home, I don't know. But there is a way you remember something, and it's bitter but also sweet. It's a strange thing. The eighth book of the Old Testament is the story of Ruth. It's such a poignant account of a woman of real faith, but she suffers multiple losses. First of all, she's bereaved of her husband, and then both of her sons die. And in that culture, I mean, it's terrible any time, but when there's no welfare system, what's her old age going to look like? I mean, she's devastated at every level. And her name, Naomi, which actually means pleasant, she says to her neighbor, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara," which means bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I wonder if you think that she's just a bit bitter because of life circumstances, or is that a truth, that the Almighty has done this to me? I mean, in the Creed, we say what we believe about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't talk in it about how does prayer work. We have some explicit theology, but we also have implicit theology. And one of the aspects of implicit, what we haven't probably even thought about, let alone talk to someone, is what happens when we pray? Does it change us? Does it change the world? Does it change God? When a bad thing happens, is that just, well, life is like that? Or is God trying to teach me something? Now, I think we can learn from bad things. It's quite different to say God made that happen. Now, that's not in a creed, providence, your theology of why does stuff happen? How tightly is that controlled by God? Or is it just, well, stuff happens and we invite God into it afterwards? But her view is the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Her life is soaked in vinegar. And if you get to chapter 4, we find actually the story ends with honey. There's a beautiful ending, but at that moment, she doesn't know that. How could she? And that's like our stories. And the Christmas story is just like this too. And if the Christmas scene seems rather too laced with saccharine, especially in some of our Christmas cards, today's gospel reading is about as acerbic as we could ever imagine. In Matthew 2:18, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. It's talking about a sudden infant death, and it's not just natural. It's because of a murderous jealousy in the heart of a tyrant. It's human wickedness. How do we deal with that? What's our theology? I would wonder if you noticed that three times Joseph, Mary, and Jesus become illegal immigrants crossing the border. And the world is upside down. So often, of course, in the Old Testament, Egypt is where the baddies live. In this story, Egypt is the savior for our savior. If it wasn't for Egypt, he would have been massacred with the others. It's the place of safety for Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And it seems to me every year we've got such opposite experiences of life. There's like a seesaw. There's a few dates up on the screen. Okay, we've got Christmas Day. Jesus is born. You probably knew that. It's honey. But December the 26th is the Feast of Stephen, as the carol says, the day we remember the first Christian martyr for following baby Jesus and what he did when he grew up. And then on the 27th of December, we've got the Feast of St. John, who's the evangelist and the apostle. It's honey again. And then yesterday, the 28th, is called the Feast of the Holy Innocents, remembering those little children who were murdered. It's not lemons, it's vinegar. It's horrible. And yet it's part of the narrative of remembering how Jesus came. And so it makes me want to ask myself and you, to whom do we need to show extra compassion today? Because, you know, I'm actually in a really good place. I'm thrilled to be here. God has been so good to me. And it's not a reward, it's just his kindness and at this season. But I certainly know times when I've been chewing lemons, and there's been other times it's just been pure vinegar. So where are you in your journey of faith today? And to whom is God calling you to make space, to enlarge your heart, or maybe your home, for others? If you're not the one needing it, who else is? And this is part of the Christmas story of how God enters, chooses to enter our world. Not the world as we want it to be, but the world as it actually is. Honey and lemon with vitamin C, but caustic, and vinegar. And so I want to invite you into, if you'd like to, a sacramental action. Because I can think of several people who are just in a place of vinegar soaking their life at the moment. So I've got a bottle of vinegar, a glass of it. You probably don't want to swig it all back. But there's a little fork you could dip in it. And you could come forward as a sacramental action. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual thing that's going on. You could dip it in and then say a prayer for yourself, for the bitterness of your soul. Or you might choose to go to the very back where we've got our lemon monitors on duty. And I've chopped up, I'm sorry, there's no gin and tonic to go with it, but a slice of lemon, there's enough for everyone. You've probably had it in a drink. Have you ever chewed part of the lemon rind? It's slightly more bitter than you would want. I encourage you to do it, because it's doing you good. It just doesn't feel at all like it. And then maybe life is sweet and God is smiling on you. We've got some honey down here. Only rule, no double dipping. Okay, there's a fork for as many as want, and put it in the bowl when you've used it, please. We're not going to be sharing germs, ideally. But I invite you to do this. What is our worship? Over Christmas, we had collections for people who are homeless. One of the less generous gifts that was put in the plate was this. It looks like a 1p piece. It's not even that. It's a 1 cent, American cent. I thought, I wonder who put that in. Here, God. If it was you, be at peace. Maybe someone gave it to you. But what are we offering God? It's not just our joy, or the joy to the world that we sing about. I think of how Job had life so horribly difficult, and yet said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. How beautiful a worship is that? So some of you are worshiping with great joy, hallelujah, and I'm so glad I am. Don't want to be ashamed of that. Don't want to be apologetic. But I remember many people who have got either lemon or vinegar. And just as we go forward, I just want to make a bit of space for you to wander around and savor and pray for the people you carry in your heart today. So let's just have some space. You do what you want. So we've got lemon, vinegar, honey. And I invite you to pray, not so much to chat, but to pray.